Hey, welcome to another episode. Today we're going on another adventure into Crazyland. That is the United States Cultural Revolution. So, what is happening today in the Cultural Revolution is I go into how people are being propagandized into going against their own countrymen. I go into some detail about how we could compare this to Nazi Germany, to the Bolshevik Revolution, and to what I've seen about China. So, enjoy. You know where to follow me, tstutch.com, YouTube, Taylor Stutch, Instagram, Facebook, Taylor Radio, Twitter, tstutch1. Enjoy. Okay, guys, let's jump in. Let's jump right in. So, as you know, anyone who's paying attention knows how crazy things are heating up in the United States. We are seeing a radical movement, a radical left-wing movement. I like to call it, a lot of the people in the movement are what the Chinese would identify as the Bai Zuo, which are white people, entitled American white people who are so far left that they actually basically bring tyranny to the country. And it stands for some other things, like they're usually like environmentalists, they're super multicultural, all these kinds of things. And when I say super multicultural, every other culture is okay except for their own. That's pretty much how it goes. And it got me thinking a little bit about the Chinese. How the propaganda that we're seeing, that we have seen in schools, how effective it is, and how we can imagine how another country might mobilize their own country, might mobilize their own citizens. So for people, I've touched on this previously, but for people that are curious, are wondering about what did the Soviet Union look like after the revolution or during the Bolshevik Revolution? If you read or listened to Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, and, you know, of course, have a big history buff, so I've learned a lot about Nazi Germany. But it's always been fairly opaque as like, how did people in Nazi Germany, how did they start, like how did people get to the point in these countries? You know, it happened in China, Nazi Germany, Soviet Union, Cambodia. How do people get to the point where they are killing their own neighbors, where they're turning in their acquaintances, where they are doing things like that? I mean, to be honest, that in by itself is shocking, right? Imagine just turning in your cousin or somebody who you know, maybe you worked with them, they were a work acquaintance, and you know that they believe that they're a Jew, and you go, well, you know, I kind of like him, but I mean, he's evil, he's a Jew, and he's got to go. So, adios. Like, it seems very impossible. It seems crazy for us to believe that people could think like that. Like, it seems impossible for us to believe that in the Soviet Union, people were ratting out their neighbors all the time. That people in Nazi Germany were ratting out their neighbors. These are better, I think, easier for us to understand than maybe what happened in China and Cambodia. I don't know much about what happened in Cambodia and only know a little bit about the Cultural Revolution in China. But, you know, I've definitely done some reading on the subject. And I think that that perplexes a lot of us. And we always think that that can't happen here. I think that's a big thing. That's actually one reason why I believe we are seeing things transpire as they are, because there is a belief in the back of many people's heads that this cannot happen here. That we're not evil, right? And I've heard people say before that nobody who's doing something that's like truly evil, most of the time, they don't think they're doing something evil. They don't realize, like, they think they're doing the right thing. And it's so interesting because when we learn about, like, Nazi Germany in school, when we learn about how they rounded up Jews or gypsies or disabled people and gays, and they were putting them in concentration camps and performing experiments on them, when we hear about these things, we just say, oh, well, that's clearly, that's evil. And it's easy to identify. And it would be easy for any sane, not evil person to recognize what is going on here. That is the idea that we get in schools. That is the idea that we get through culture. That evil, it's very identifiable. What's interesting about that is, you know, I'm not a religious person myself, though I would consider myself a Christian of sorts, with Jewish ancestry as well. But it reminds me of the, I don't know that much about the Bible. But what's interesting is it, right off the bat, what does it remind me of? The Garden of Eden. When the devil, as a serpent, offers Eve an apple. There, when you look at that whole situation, you don't look at that situation and say, oh, well, it's clear, right? It's so obvious that, you know, when we look at it from 5,000 feet in the air, we say, well, obviously God said, don't eat the apple, and she ate the apple, and so obviously she made a mistake. She fucked up. She went against God. And it's like, no, no, no. What's interesting, this is the human condition. You think you know what you're supposed to do until you're confronted with your own desires, hunger, thirst, sex, all these things, anger, right? The Bible's filled with these kinds of things about people succumbing to these base desires, these base instincts. Now, what's interesting about that is when we look at the story of Adam and Eve, and I'm not going to go too deeply into it, I just think it's very interesting that you could look at that and see, oh, wow, God tells them not to eat the apple from this tree or the fruit from this tree, but she eats it anyway. And the snake convinces her, look, it's not a big deal. I don't remember exactly what was said, I don't remember what transpired at the tree of life, the tree of knowledge. I don't remember what transpired, but I can say that I recall that the snake essentially convinces Eve that, hey, look, it's not, this is no big deal. Nothing bad's going to happen to you if you bite the apple. Like, it's just, it's no big deal. It's, you just take one bite. I'm not asking you to kill somebody. I'm not asking you to say fuck you to God, right? Like, those are big, bold actions. I'm asking you to take one little bite against what you're supposed to do. And once you make that one step over the line, then your whole world's going to change. Because once you step over that line and you take a bite of that apple, you take a bite of that fruit from the tree of knowledge, your whole world will change. Humanity will be different forever, right? You can apply this to most people's lives. Once you try, this is why so many people get addicted to drugs and other things in their life. It's not because they never tried it. It's because they tried it one too many times. And that could be one time, two times, three times. And then boom, you're hooked. We can do the same thing. We can do the exact same thing when it comes to what we see happening, when it comes to propaganda, when it comes to ratting on your neighbors and throwing your Jewish neighbors or your, your bourgeois friends into a cattle car, going over to the gulags or going over to the concentration camps, or running into a village and looking for a anti-revolutionary who happens to be some innocent school teacher. A lot of times these things are started by slowly but surely creeping into people's minds. And it's usually something small. It could be something small. I've talked about it before. When I was growing up in high school, you could kind of see the, because like my generation, the millennials, are kind of being really, really, it's becoming very obvious how far indoctrinated many people are. And a lot of it started with simple things like, don't you care about poor people? Don't you care about immigrants? Don't you care about people in other countries? It starts with something very simple. Just take one bite. Take one bite of the apple, of the fruit, the fig, whatever the hell it was. I shouldn't say that. Whatever the heck it was. Take one bite. You'll be okay. And when you take that bite, you might be a little scared. Like the first time, you kind of go against what you think, like, oh yeah, just why do we have to have a border? Why can't we just let them come in? They're people. At first, it seems okay, right? Well, I don't want to be racist. It seems okay. But then you keep going. Then the cycle, then things start to move forward. And it goes from, well, if you don't want to let people, undocumented immigrants in the country, well, it's because you're racist. It's because you don't like Mexicans. At first it was you don't like Mexicans. Then it was you don't like brown people. Then it was you're racist. And it just is step by step by step. And now people are so wound up. People have been washed over. Their brains have been so thoroughly cleaned, have been so thoroughly rewired, that the minute you say anything about a country protecting its borders, the United States, not any country, right? Every other country can do it except the United States. When you say that, well, you're racist. You hate brown people. You hate poor people. You're a white supremacist. So it kind of starts like that, right? Well, okay, so first it's, well, you don't care about poor people. Well, then it's like, well, you don't like Mexicans. Then it's like, well, you're racist. Now you're white supremacist. Well, guess what? All these people, now we're in a new game. Because as I pointed out in my last podcast, white supremacy and racism is now considered the ultimate evil. Remember, keep in mind, we're all being put on the defensive here. In the United States, it's agreed upon that racism is a bad thing. It goes without saying it's a bad thing. In today's world, it goes without saying. But it's not the ultimate evil. Being a racist, if you're a racist, yeah, you're probably a bit of a piece of shit. Maybe not. Maybe you do a lot of good things for people, but you don't like people of a certain color. Well, guess what? As long as you don't do anything bad to other people of a certain color, I don't give a shit. And that goes for anybody. Black, white, brown, yellow, green, blue, red, whatever. Don't care. It's about your actions fundamentally. So actions, I can find a number of actions that are worse than racism. I can find a number of actions that are worse than not liking somebody because of their skin color, right? Assault, rape, murder, arson, theft. Like, I mean, there's so many. Genocide, you know, like you could go down a list of things that are worse than somebody not liking somebody because of their skin color, right? But people have taken the bite of the apple and they didn't realize what they were doing when they did it. So now we live in a world where an entire portion of the population has a mind virus. And what's interesting is that it didn't even take that much propaganda. I would say there's, you don't see as many Gen Xers and definitely boomers. It's a lot of people my age, millennials, and some Zoomers, some Gen Zs, who take it as a default that if you question you know, the millennials are more about just the kind of the racism and some of the trans stuff. The Zoomers, the Gen Z, like, they talk about trans rights. And if you bring up like a biological sex argument, something like that, they'll look at you like, you know, if you said, oh, so there's two biological sexes, generally speaking, in the human race. And they would say, oh, well, obviously you're a transphobe. Obviously, you're erasing. Obviously, you're erasing trans people. That you're trans people. No, I'm not. Not erasing anybody. But anyway, since we've seen this, we've seen it happen through the education system and through popular culture. And what made me think about it tying to China. Was the – oh, okay. First, let me complete this thought. So now with a large population of the United States – I don't know the percentage, but it's large enough that they're out in the streets protesting. They're being recruited into Antifa, BLM marches. They don't even know it. A large portion of the United States youth, young people, have unwittingly have a reaction. See, this is the whole thing. It's a reaction that if you use the term racism – if you use the term any kind of phobic, homophobic, transphobic, they have an automatic reaction of that's bad. Do the opposite of that. So if you say something is racist, there's no analysis of whether or not it's truly racist. They're so indoctrinated, they go, ah, it's racist. You're evil. You should die. Or, oh, this person is a racist. The opposite of this person is good. This person is a transphobe. The opposite of this person is good. That's the – there's no thought. It's a reaction. This is how this propaganda stuff works. This is how you get people to turn in their neighbors. Because once they get past the thinking, they get past the critical thinking and the nuance, most people can't handle that anyway. Most people just want a simple path to living. And when you brainwash them into this worldview where they have a reaction to certain words like racism, sexism, whatever, certain words trigger them into a horrifying reaction, then you go, oh, hey, look, your friend is a Trump voter. That's disgusting, isn't it? Trump voters are racist white supremacists. White supremacists are the worst people on earth. They are the ultimate evil. They must be purged from the human race. Because they signify the ultimate evil. They must be brought out of the world. That's what's happening. That's what we see. This is the rhetoric. It's so funny. I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm not. Motherfuckers are out in the streets saying this shit. So, that's what we got going on. It's an automatic reaction. They don't even question the premise. That's the dangerous part. They don't question the premise. When you say, ah, we have to attack this person, look, hey, your friend and your family who are Trump supporters must be reported because they're racist. Nobody is questioning the premise of these arguments, of these statements. Nobody's saying, well, what do you mean, like, they're racist? And, like, how are they racist? What are they doing that is racist? And even if they were racist, how does that justify what we're doing? There's none of these questions are brought up because it is assumed that this is the premise of reality. This is what's dangerous. This is probably how it happened under Hitler. This is how it happened under Lenin. This is probably how it happened under Mao. Once you reset the premise of somebody's mind, where they react to certain information without even questioning the premise of their thinking, of their ideology, you've got a really dangerous situation on your hands. That's where we are at today. So how does this tie into China? I haven't talked about China in a bit. I still do a lot of stuff related to China. And I mean, I don't like the government of China, but I have some really good friends there. Like I said, I'm a nuanced thinker. So, you know, I know that not everyone over there is evil. A lot of people over there actually like the United States. I actually learned a term for that recently. there's a group of people in China that love everything that's not Chinese. And there's a group of people in China that love everything that is only Chinese. Anyway, that's obvious. It's like people like that in every country. But here's what I wanted to get to is I have seen firsthand that people in China, the youth, are taught about, let's talk about Taiwan. Let's talk about Taiwan. That's what I want to talk about. And we could, I don't know as much about the Hong Kong thing, but let's jump to Taiwan. So with Taiwan, they are a country, independent country. They used to be recognized as the only legal China in the world until I believe it was Nixon in the 1970s. Now, Taiwan has been independently ruled since Chiang Kai-shek. Chiang Kai-shek went to Taiwan. I believe it was, at that time, it was probably the island of Formosa back in the 1949, 1950, when they were kicked out of China, when Mao Zedong came to power under the revolution. Here's what I'm getting at. Mainland China considers Taiwan part of China. Now, everyone in Taiwan knows that's not the case. If you go to Taiwan, they have, for the most part, freedom of speech. I think people can pretty much practice their own religion. They can talk shit about the Chinese government all they want. They have close relationship with the United States and other countries. And even a military relationship. And they do a lot of things that have nothing to do with mainland China, with actual China. And what's interesting is that the youth over there is being taught that Taiwan is China. And it is part of the underlying premise of their reality. They are being taught that Hong Kong, and the Hong Kong one is difficult to understand. That one's a little more nuanced because Britain did agree to give Hong Kong back to China. And it's very unfortunate, the circumstances that that is occurring. Very unfortunate. But it's not like Taiwan, which was set up as a direct indirect conflict in contrast to China. So these young people are being taught that Taiwan is China. And what worries me about that is that that means that it will be very easy for them to move against Taiwan. Because the youth, there will be no nuance. There will be no, well, technically there's this and there's that, and maybe we shouldn't be doing this, and maybe we shouldn't be acting that way. It'll just be straight up, no, this is like it's China, and we're going to liberate them. We're going to save them. There's this kind of thinking, you know. And so that kind of stuff makes me worried about Taiwan, because having such a large population of people that don't even question their premise that would allow them to move against another country like that is, and I'm sure in the United States we have these problems too. But it makes it very obvious, right? It's like, oh, okay, you've been, your whole life, you believed that Taiwan was China. So if you live in mainland China, if you live in China, you're going to think to yourself, oh, what do these Taiwanese motherfuckers think they're doing? They're not Taiwanese. They're Chinese. Why are they so mad that we're coming over there to save them from their government? Like, they're us. They're ours. Right? They wouldn't even think that that's a problem. They wouldn't even think to be against a movement going invading the island of Taiwan. Just like here in the United States, if you truly believe that people who voted for Trump are evil, bigot, white supremacists, if you truly believe that, if that is the underlying premise of your reality, then you won't question the things you have to do to go against your enemies, to go against those people. people are already being encouraged to distance themselves from their relatives and friends. I've been seeing a lot of tweets on this lately. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand it's Twitter, blah, blah, blah. People are just talking about some of their personal accounts of friends and family who, you know, first off, after Trump was elected, many people already were being unfriended and getting kicked out of friend circles. And some people were trying to distance their families because they voted for Trump, stuff like that. And so these people that are super anti, that have the Trump derangement syndrome, this is that kind of camp that they're in. The underlying premise that they're operating under is that Trump and Trump supporters are evil white supremacists. And there is no nuance to be had. There's no, well, technically this, or maybe we could have a discussion. No, 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 no. There's no discussion because you are evil, right? Going back to the Taiwan example, there's no discussion about Taiwan because it is China. There's nothing to discuss. If you are mainland Chinese, if you're a 15-year-old kid, 25-year-old millennial, and you've grown up your entire life being taught Taiwan is China, your whole life, maybe you've been taught something that, well, you know, currently they're under some kind of rogue regime supported by the United States, whatever, but it is China, and it belongs to China, it was stolen from China, then that's your reality. That's the reality that you live in. The reality isn't that, oh, well, actually, there was a revolution during the revolution. These people came, you know, out of the government. They established their own government. No, 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 no. That's not how they're taught. They're not taught about a nuanced version of history where you can make a justification for Taiwan being an independent country. They're taught that, no, this is China. That's it. That's it. It's just like in the South China Sea, how they say, well, this is Chinese territory, that 9-dash dotted line. This is China. Get over it. Lots of people in China are being born and raised to believe certain propaganda that, in my opinion, is very evil because it conditions people to believe certain things that could cause very aggressive actions against other peoples and countries without the people engaging and supporting those actions even knowing what they're doing. And that's what we're seeing here in the United States. Same thing. Same thing. The young people are being, and a lot of other people are being told, well, hey, it reminds me of that podcast with James Lindsay and Joe Rogan that was just recently done, where they talk about, he talks about, James Lindsay describes how this movement is evil because it repurposes people's good intentions for evil purposes. People don't want to be racist. They don't want to be white supremacists. But they're told that if you agree with this person, you vote for this person, you are evil, you're white supremacist. So then what do you have to do? If you want to be a good person, you have to distance yourself. You have to be aggressive towards the aggressor, towards the oppressor. You're not being if you punch somebody wearing a Trump hat, you're not being aggressive because they are the oppressor. If your underlying premise for reality is that all white people, all Trump supporters are oppressors, you're justified in your violence against them. And we, you know, this is, it's like propaganda 101 is what we are seeing. And now, don't get me wrong. I understand that as any person in any country at any time, there's a certain amount of propaganda anyone goes through. I realize that. I understand. But what we're seeing happen in this country right now is what likely happened in Nazi Germany. That's how it happens. You all you have to do, and it seems complex, and it's complex, but it's simple. You just have to change the foundation. If you change the foundational understanding of reality for people, you can change a lot of their programming. Now, that once again, that doesn't mean that humans can be totally reprogrammed. It's like there's a basic structure of programming, right? You're using the existing programs of like anger and justice and the need for these things. You're just repurposing them. You're manipulating them. You're changing the program as much as it can be changed. but you have to change some of the fundamental ideas underlying people's current structures. So that's what they've done. That's probably what they did in Nazi Germany. Probably a similar thing what they did in Soviet Union and in Mao's China. When you convince a generation of people that that the premise, the underlying reality that they're operating under is being threatened by these words and by these people, and you tell them, hey, the Jews are trying to destabilize Germany. The Jews are trying to destroy the German state. The Jews are trying to, the reason why we're in poverty is because of the Jews. The reason why your parents are poor is because of the Jews. The reason why Germany's paying reparations for World War I is because of the Jews. If you are, and I'm oversimplifying, but I'm pointing out how if you put that in a whole generation of people's heads, right? You tell them, hey, the Jews are evil. Remember, the Jewish structure is oppressing Germans. It's oppressing Aryan German people. It's the Jewish capitalist structure that's oppressing native-born Germans. And the Germans have been taken over by the Jews, and we have to rise up and conquer the Jews, conquer the ruling class of Jews, if we are going to survive as a nation. You tell that to enough people over a long period of time, and before you know it, your childhood friend, who's a Jew, well, guess what? Here's the problem. They're not individuals, they're Jews. So you got to report them because they're part of the evil structure of society. And the only way you can fix the structure for your family is if you report the evil people that are Jewish. You see how that happens? Same with the bourgeoisie. You identify people by class, so anybody that falls within that class is guilty. This is the dangers that Jordan Peterson talked about of collective guilt. You don't judge people individually anymore. When you judge people based on the collective actions of things that they have had nothing to do with, then you can justify throwing your friend into a cattle car because it's good for your family. Because you say, look, I'm white, my family's white. Or, okay, say you're in Germany, you go, look, I'm an Aryan, and I'm actually Jewish, so I guess it doesn't matter. But if you say in Germany, hey, your white Aryan family is being threatened by Jews, so even your Jewish friend is a threat to you. Because he's Jewish. He belongs to a collective group called Jews, therefore he is a threat to non-Jews. So all Jews must be turned in. So we come over here to the United States. Well, what's happening? Okay, if you're white, you are guilty of white supremacy, no matter what, because you're white. So if you're not white, then you are automatically threatened by white people. It doesn't matter about your friend. Your friend could be a great guy, but he's white, so he's guilty because he is oppressing you because he's white, because he belongs to this group. And when people are conditioned for that over and over in years, and it's not questioned, once the assumption of collective guilt and collective action like that goes uncriticized, we're in trouble. That's where I think we're headed. Now, I think it can be stopped, but that's where I think we're headed. Anyway, we are seeing the unfolding of the propaganda in front of our eyes. Very interesting to see. Very interesting to see. We're getting a lesson in propaganda in Nazi Germany and Bolshevik Revolution, Maoist Cultural Revolution. We're seeing it now. May not be ever as bad, but we are seeing how it happens. You identify your collective enemy within the country. Identify them as the oppressor, then it's easy to throw your colleague into the gulag. That's all I got to say for today. Stay vigilant. Stay strong, independent. You can follow me at tstuch.com, tstuch.com. Haven't written in a while. Plan on getting back to it. You can support me by buying my Teespring merch. I should be putting some more stuff up on there, but you can get some really cool Joe Biden shirts. They're anti-Joe Biden shirts, but they're funny as hell. Follow me on Twitter, tstuch1. Like and subscribe on YouTube, Taylor Stutch. Thank you.